worship team for helping us this morning. Appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. You're the best. I was like, I'm moving this with no effort. What's happening? We're going to do a Q&A this morning. I need Ryan and AJ and Will, because there's a lot of questions for Will. A lot of Will questions this morning. I wonder if high school is okay if we move their stuff. We're not going to move it. We're going to leave it. We're going to leave it right where it's at. Except for this. Just kidding. Anything that looks really expensive, we're going to try to help. Where's Ryan at? Get up here, Patagonia. All right, a lot of questions in the question box this morning, and from past Q&As, trying to my best to work through these, but you guys are asking some really good questions. So I have a team of experts up here, both Bible experts and very knowledgeable in multiple fields of study, sports, life. They're wise men, so I'm happy to do this Q&A with them. Guys, let's get started with something serious. How do you convince your parents for getting a dog? I just want to ask the question as precisely as I can. How do you convince your parents? I'm going to just tweak it a little to let you get a dog. What do you do? How do you do it?
I can speak to this.
Oh, Ryan's done it.
Some parents can't be convinced as much as you try.
That's my Woo! Parents. Yeah. No dog.
There's just no answer.
I've had three dogs.
How'd you do it, Will?
Will's the expert here.
How'd you do it?
I think my parents wanted to have a dog, so it wasn't so much convincing. But I will tell you guys this. I think what's going to be most helpful is that you have to take all the responsibility, because a dog is too much work.
Man.
So maybe
go into the responsibility just quickly.
Okay.
Like, what does it actually take to take care of a dog?
Man, well, so it's alive. It's a live thing. So you're going to have to feed it.
Yep.
You're going to have to get it water. You're going to have to...
Did you say get it watered?
Get it... Well, you got to give it a bath, you know?
Oh,
pray over it.
I didn't know what you meant. Baptize it or make sure it has water to drink? I wasn't sure.
It has to have water to drink.
Okay.
You do have to bathe it as well, though.
Yeah. Every day or what?
I actually don't know. Maybe once a month. Once a month, is that right?
So it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. Not to mention, you know what happens when people eat things, when dogs eat things. You know? I'll let you figure it out.
What?
Well, it doesn't just stay in their stomach. Okay.
Oh, I got
you. So you got to clean after the dog?
Yep.
So it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. And sometimes they're cute as puppies, and then like they get bigger, and you're like, you're not even that cute anymore.
Yeah, my dog right now is, he's like 1 year old, and he's 110 pounds. So bigger
That's a
than
big boy.
Bigger than most of you. And he is.
All right, so I think we've heard enough. Look, guys, are you sure you even want a dog? Are you even sure you want it? But if you really do, you're still convinced we need a dog in our home, maybe step up in the area of care. Mom, dad, I'm willing to help walk it, feed it, maybe give it a bath. I don't know. I'm in. I want to take care of this dog. All right. Question number two. Also, this is important. Adam's not up here, but Adam, a request to you. Will you be on my dodgeball team? It's Death by Glamour. That's the name of the team, I think. We're not hiding. It's Silas. He's asking. And guess what, Silas? Ask and you shall receive, my man. He said yes. Silas's team just took a huge jump in the potential winnings for dodgeball.
Wow,
strong.
I've seen Adam throw, though. I don't know if you've seen
Aaron,
him play dodgeball
on your team
in a while.
It's a lot of power, but not very accurate.
His arm is... It's a wild machine.
It's a lot of power, not super accurate.
Could be a headshot or right at the wall.
Yeah, he'll miss you.
Do they teach dodgeball in boot camp?
No. Okay.
Okay, guys, let's jump to one that's maybe a little more serious. Is it okay to not go to church, or do you have to? Is it okay to not go to church, or do you have to go to church? That's a great question, isn't it? What do you guys think? I could go. Oh, yeah.
I would just say one thing. There's a lot. There's so much you could say. One thing that comes to mind for me is like the Bible never knows anything about a Christian who doesn't have other Christians in their life.
Yeah.
And there's so many commands to like one another, how you treat each other as believers and being part of the body of Christ, a family. And so I think that's just one part of how to think about how God's made you as a Christian. If you're a true Christian, that he's made you or called you to be part of a family. He's placed you in a family of other Christians, and that's where he wants you. So that's just kind of a one little thing I think I would say.
Oh, that's good. Hebrews chapter 10 actually talks about this very thing. It's a really helpful section that talks a lot about believers and how to, really what Ryan was talking about, how to encourage each other as believers. You know, God has two really specific commands. Both of them have to do with loving him and then loving others. And I think especially loving other believers. So God gives us a lot of instruction on that. But in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, there's some instruction about stirring up each other to this faith, to being a Christian, walking that life with each other. Because there's going to be days when you're like, I don't feel like doing this. Or maybe I'm not doing something that I should be. And I need Ryan or Will or AJ to come alongside me and say, hey, Pastor Jay, pick it up. You know, keep going. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep using your spiritual gift. Keep serving. But in Hebrews chapter 10, it literally says to not forsake the assembling or the getting together like we're doing right here today. So this is something that God really wants for his people. So it's a good question. I would say for an unbeliever, which, you know, would be many of you in the room this morning, I get why you don't have that great desire to want to get up and go to church. You know, you're not really into it. It's something your parents are kind of making you do. But while you're here, the point is a ministry like ours exists just to keep pointing out why you need Christ and his gospel. And we're trying to make that clear as we preach and teach through big sections of the Bible so that one day you would become a believer and that desire to go to church. It isn't going to be full 10 out of 10 when you get saved. A lot of people get, you know, become Christians and they're like, Pastor Jay, I still don't want to go to church or read my Bible or pray. Must not have worked. And I'm like, well, no, this starts really slow, really small. And these desires are going to grow and grow and grow. But it is helpful to know that we need that instruction. God wants us here at least once a week to be together in church on a Lord's Day, together with each other, being in the Word and taking communion and, you know, baptism, all those things that God wants us doing to make sure that our, you know, our faith, our life with him is where it needs to be. I think that's helpful because if we're not here, man, we're going to forget and we're not going to be who we should be and sin's going to creep in and we're going to be a mess if we're not around each other or God's word or the help of from other believers. So it's really important. You know, and I might just caveat for a second. I don't mean to take so much time on this question, but I know your life right now seems pretty awesome. And it's like, man, we have no trouble. Not all of you I know for sure, but a lot of you are probably like, man, this, you know, life is sweet. I don't need much help from anybody. It's very common that a young teen kind of has that confidence about life that they got it figured out and they don't need help. But, you know, life's going to be full of trials and trouble and things where you're going to be really glad to be in a church. A good friend of mine, his wife over the weekend fell and hit her head and they had to go to the hospital and they have a bunch of kids. And I can't even imagine what it would be like for them to be all on their own. But as soon as their church found out, they just sprung into action and they come around this family and they're taking care of the kids and they're bringing food and they're trying to help however they can. They're trying to love them however they can through that little trial. So, man, it's so good to be in a body of believers in a church because we are, in every sense of the word, a spiritual family. We belong to each other and we're meant to take care of each other. So I get that you don't want to go, but I think as you grow as a believer, that desire comes more and more and more. Okay? You guys want to add anything to that? I kind of smothered it. I didn't mean to. Man, we got a lot of relationship questions. I can tell we have some eighth graders ready to go to high school. I can tell the Q&A box is full of romance. It's all over it. I'm not kidding. It's everywhere. Here's one. My best friend, a guy, likes me, a girl. What do I do? Well, listen, the plot thickens. I don't like him. Hold on. Hold it up. I don't like him like that because we've been friends for a long time. What do I do? Guys, thoughts? What do you think? I just want to hear from AJ. AJ, tell us what to do.
Am I speaking from the guy's perspective or the girl's
perspective? I think let's answer this from this young lady's. Let's try to help her.
Yeah, stay far away. Good job. Yeah, I mean, I think it's really interesting. I think that guys and girls are both awesome. I think having friends of both genders is awesome. And I think I always run to when I hear about, you know, what do I do? What's the time? My first thing that always comes to mind is, well, don't be weird. You can be nice and kind and normal. But I always think of Ecclesiastes 3, where he really just talks about, in verse 1, he says, there is an appointed time for everything. And I think that is so sound and true for middle schoolers, whether 6th, 7th, 8th. There will be a time in your life, and some of you it's happening quickly, going into high school, which is an exciting time. But there will be a time in your life where, with the blessing of mom and dad and the people who are taking care of you and speaking in your life, where you can, you know, have a relationship with somebody that's honoring to the Lord. But right now, that time for most of you is not here. So I think being invested in the people sitting next to you, your friends, your guy friends, your girlfriends, that really is the investment that will pay a nice return for you guys in high school and in college and in the future. So I think it's great to have guy or girl friends that are friends, that you're nice to, that you show love to as a brother or sister in Christ. But there will be a time for the dating and those things. So don't be needing to rush into that. And I think those are great conversations with mom and dad. And read Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time for everything. Every matter under heaven, there's a time for. So that time will come for all of you, and it'll be an exciting time. But right now, it's focusing on the friendships that you have with the people in your grade and in school and those things. So,
really good answer. Any other thoughts, fellas?
I like what AJ said just about listening to your parents. I would just like emphasize that again, like listening to the counsel that your parents have, and yeah, just trusting what they're saying and even having a conversation with them. If you're thinking through stuff, like, God's placed them in your life for things like this. So, like, yeah, lean on your parents a lot more than you think you maybe should.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as I read through these relationship questions, there's questions about, how do I know that God has someone for me? How do I pray for this person? And I'm being very kind with that question. It's really complex, but I think that's the gist of it. You know, I when it comes to relationships, I think this is what is always so interesting to me. And I do want to just point it out, not to make fun of anybody, but to just maybe talk a little truth. This half of the room, which is typically girls, are asking these kinds of questions. I'm yet to see a question be asked from a guy about something like this. I mean, it's real. We're talking unicorn rare. So what does that teach us, guys? Well, actually, never mind. What does that teach us, ladies? You're ahead of the game a little bit, right? You're already thinking a little more maturely You're thinking a little more about life and where it's headed and where we're going. No offense. These guys are thinking about what's for lunch. Like, is there... See? So they're like, how do I convince my dad to get a dog and take us to In-N-Out after church? So hold on. Shh. So my point is, here's what I want you to know. When it comes to relationships, this is a good thing. When it comes to relationships, you need to know that God has designed you a certain way. It's not weird to want to be in a relationship. Actually, way back in Genesis chapter 2, this is the first problem in God's very good creation. He says for the first time something that's not good, and it's that man is alone. So he created you to need this relationship, to want this relationship. It's not, you're not weird. You're not like a freak or somebody who's like way ahead of their... This is such a good thing. But I will say it this way, girls. You're going to have to wait a little bit, okay? So if your foot's on the gas, let me give you some encouragement. Take your foot all the way off the gas. Let's slow way down because these guys aren't ready for this and they're not going to be ready for this for a while. I mean, what do you want? Their mom to drive you and him to like McDonald's? Like, what do you expect this to look like? Okay. So AJ's advice is really good. Let's be friends. Let's respect each other. Let's be okay learning how to talk to each other and, you know, be kind to each other. We don't have to be, you know, don't talk to me. Not till after high school. Don't talk to me. Like, it's not that. But just recognizing that you're ahead of where these guys are at. These guys will catch up, but it's going to be about 20-ish years of age. So you got some time. I know, even they didn't even like that, okay? They're like maybe 30. So just know, but here, I just want you to know this. Whoops. I just want you to know this. This is a good thing. This is a God-given thing. This is starting to... You know, wake up a little bit in your thoughts, in your heart, in your feelings. It's a good thing. But we just have to AJ's point in Ecclesiastes, we have to wait for the right time, okay? The appointed time. To date somebody now, and I just want you to write this down, okay? It's a waste of your time. It's a complete waste, okay? Waste of time. Now, is God... promise to send you someone? No, but he does understand you have a need for someone, and to be alone is a bad thing. So to go back to this prayer question, I would say, what can you do? And the best thing you could do right now is for all of you to pray for that person who you do not know yet. To just say, Lord, would you just be with whoever she is or whoever he is? God, would you prepare their heart to love you and to follow you and to grow as a Christian? Because that's what you need the most in this person you're looking for. That one day after high school or in college or whenever, that person that you're so interested in, it's not because they're super cute and tan and have nice hair. It's actually because they love Jesus. That would be the best reason for you to say, I'd like to know them a little bit more. I'd like to see what could come of this relationship. So that's how you should pray for that person. God, would you help them to guard their life? Would you help that person whose name I wish I knew, but I don't know yet? Would you help them to live in a way that honors you? Help them to make good decisions. Help them to be someone who's learning about you and following you. That would be a great way to pray for this thing that you're in such a hurry for. Ladies, start praying for him right now. I mean, not literally right now, but I mean like, you know, pray for them, okay? And lean on your parents and ask tons of questions. Mom, dad, you know, when is the time to date? And watch your dad fall over. It's going to be really fun, okay? So don't be embarrassed, ladies. Don't be embarrassed. This is a good thing. This is a God-given thing, but in time, okay? Really, really good. Okay, who is going to, and this is why I brought up AJ. I don't know where the question is, but I have it memorized. Who's going to win the FIFA World Cup? I don't know, but AJ does know, and I think you should all listen to him.
Obviously, we'd like the USA to make a little bit of a run, but I think the big favorites this year are Spain, France, England, top three. I don't like Spain.
Same.
I don't really love France. So if I had to pick a big three, I'd say I'd like England. But I think my main pick will be England, but my who I'm cheering for is the USA.
Always. I just want to remind...
Was that Timofey? No,
I want to remind everyone that you live in the United States of America. It might be good for you to cheer for your own team. All right. Who's Will's favorite exchange student? Tell us, Will. Tell us. We want to know.
Favorite exchange student? Ever. Current or ever?
It actually doesn't say, so...
Current.
I might go ever.
Is it crazy to say? It's crazy to say. I love you all the same. Just kidding.
Politician.
Let's see.
Quick.
I think
lightning round. Quick.
It's got to be maybe not the top, but in there is Derek. Derek for sure.
All time great.
All time is Derek.
Wow.
Is Robert here?
He's a legend.
Timofey also is up there for sure.
Legends. Those are just legends.
Landon. Yeah.
All right, we're on the topic of Will. Let's do one more. What does Will do? What does Will do?
Whoever wrote that is a smart person.
Like,
that's
does he actually do?
That's such a good question.
Isn't it a great question?
So good.
Answer, dude.
Wow. What do I do? Just all the time?
You tell us, man. The people
I'll tell you a couple things that I do. Number one is I'm in seminary. Maybe that's not number one. Number one is I love Jesus and I go to church. And I go to exchange. And I'm an intern here. Yeah, I'm one of the interns, which you may or may not know that.
What's that even mean?
I just do whatever Pastor Jay tells me to do.
That's so not true.
Just kidding. No, I help with whatever, planning events, planning summer camp, planning Wednesday night stuff, come up with a lot of games.
That was fun. I enjoyed listening to you talk about your life.
I don't know.
He's busy, guys. He's real busy.
Don't you work at the bookstore, too?
I work at the bookstore.
Will can sell you books. He can design a youth group game in a matter of minutes. He can write you a paper on Christology. He can preach a sermon. He can army crawl across this basement, hold up your wrists, and show the people what you're willing to do. He will rug burn his own hands just to show you how much he cares about you. He will army crawl this whole thing on his back of his hands. Why That's did true. He do that? I don't know. But
because I won is why.
He wanted to show that he was in.
Me and Adam.
We love Will. Okay, here's a good one. Man, this is such a helpful question. I'm saved. That's amazing. But I feel like I'd rather do anything than read my Bible. What should I do to get that desire? Such a good question. I'm saved, which is amazing. So, you know, what does that mean? Well, this person, and I know we talk about the gospel here a lot, but they believe that they're a sinner. They believe that Christ died on the cross for their sin, took their place. They know they couldn't save themselves, so they put their faith in what Christ did to save them from their sin. They know they're forgiven. They're trying to be a Christian who's following Christ, and they know one of those things that they're supposed to do is be in this book. So, that desire is not there for this new Christian. They'd rather do anything, it says, than read the Bible. Guys, what do we do to get that desire? Well, let me start here. Does that ever happen to you? Do you guys like always want to read the Bible like every day?
No, it's hard sometimes.
It's hard
for sure.
Sometimes.
It is.
Yep.
That's a good question. And it's one that I think you're probably going to keep working on. You know, we're sitting here and we're all could say the same, that it's not easy every morning to get up and read your Bible, or at any time during the day. It can be really difficult. The thing I think is most helpful in gaining that desire is you need to there's a level of discipline to it.
Yeah.
But what's most helpful is just understanding what you're doing, what it is when you read the Bible. So if you have a chance later, read Psalm 19. Psalm 19's just awesome. I'll read a couple things from it. It's just really helpful talking about the Word, talking about God's law, and why it's important to be in the Word, to read your Bible. I'll just read one verse, but it keeps on going. It says, "The law of Yahweh is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple." It just keeps going and listing different things that the Word of God is. It's right, it's pure, it's clean, it's true, and all the things that it does for you, and that it makes you into. And understanding that, yes, it can be hard, but what is the purpose of it? It's so that you can know God. It's so that you can know Him better than you have before. And so that you can become more like Him. Because as we read His Word, as we open up the Word, we learn about who God is. And when you learn about who God is, you can be shaped more and more into the image of who He is and more into who Jesus Christ is. So it's hard, and it takes discipline. But sometimes when you don't know why you're doing something, it makes it really difficult to grow that discipline and to keep doing that. So sometimes knowing why you're doing something, I think, is helpful.
Any other thoughts, Phyllis?
Yeah, I like the why of kind of what Will's saying there. I would just, to summarize that up too, one of my pastors long ago told me that it's really important when it comes to Bible reading and even prayer to act on what you know to be true and not what you're feeling. Because in the moment, like, you know, if you're going through a hard time, you're feeling down, you're feeling really sad, maybe anxious about something, that's going to drive you away from Christ, because that's going to push you towards sin. And if you're doing that, you're not in a position where you're really feeling so great and so spiritual and so ready to dive into the Word and read for an hour and do these things and pray. So it's important just to have that mindset too, that like when it comes to things of Christ, prayer, Bible reading, those things, it's really important that you guys act on what you know is right and true. You know you need to be in the Word. You know you need to be in prayer. But oftentimes we do not feel like it. And I always think of, for me personally, when I'm really struggling, I kind of try to frame it around, like, do I want to be a weak person? Do I want to be a weak Christian? And the answer is always no. I definitely don't, but I am. And when I think of that, I think of the armor of God, and I think of Ephesians 6, and it says, you know, our struggle is not of flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So, like, I'm not being attacked physically, but I'm being attacked spiritually all the time. And if I'm not ready to handle this, then I'm going to be a failure. I'm going to be weak. I'm going to be struggling. I'm going to be, you know, dealing with all these things. And in verse 13, it says, therefore, take up the full armor of God so you'll be able to resist the devil and the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. I want to be someone who can stand firm. I don't want to be someone who's weak and just falling over. I want to be able to do that. And I'm not doing it with my own strength, just going to the gym and getting strong and doing all these things. Like, no, I need this. I need this. How do I know I need this? Because it says right there, what am I putting on? Verse 14, stand firm, having belted your waists with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having strapped on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking up the field of faith, which will extinguish all the flaming arrows from the evil one. So I think of that too. Like, you know, when I'm not feeling, what's the why behind that is, like, I want to be someone who can stand firm. And in order to do that, I need to be in the Word. I need to be in prayer, even when I don't want to be.
Yeah, that's such a good answer. And we have a similar question, which I just would kind of attach it to it. It's a question about how do I pray and how do I really rely on God more than me? And I think these two are actually really connected. I don't believe it's the same person asking, but it's such a helpful question, right? And I think the reason why we're struggling to get in the Word and we're struggling to pray is we don't quite understand, to AJ's point, how much we actually need God, how much we actually think we got this on our own. And we know the truth, or at least we've heard it, that I know I'm, you know, my leaders, my parents, my pastors, they all tell me I need to be in God's Word. It's helpful. It's good. It's beneficial. And they all tell me I need to be praying and talking to God. But as a new Christian, and I'll be honest with you guys, even as a Christian, for somebody who's been a Christian for a long time, these can be challenging. Why? Because we start to believe in ourselves more than we should. We start to think I'm bigger and better and greater, and maybe I don't need God as much as I think. And that kind of mindset's always dangerous. I'm starting to do pretty good in school. Maybe I don't need to pray as much. I'm starting to do pretty good. This, whatever it is. We tend to do that, right? So even as a new Christian, you're learning that. Like, what's your instinct? The question gives the answer. I'm relying on me way too much. So how do I do this? And how do I pray? And how do I be in my word more? It's both knowing that I should, but recognizing that this is something that I really benefit from. I got to remind myself daily, even though things may be going great, smashingly, I still need to start my morning going, Lord, I don't know what you have for me today, but I know that it's not going to be nearly as what you want it to be if I'm going to try to do all this on my own. I don't know. Maybe things are going awesome, but I still need to go to him and start that day with him. Maybe it's 2 minutes. Maybe it's 5 minutes. Maybe it's 30. I don't know. But I know I need to talk to him, and that's prayer. I need to just tell him what's going on, what I'm thinking about, things I'm nervous about, anxious about, mad about, sad about, happy about. I need to tell God all those things. While I'm talking to him, I should be asking for forgiveness. I should be thankful for what he's doing. I should be really trying to focus on him at some point too. Not just a prayer that's all about me, but one that's also involving him. God, thank you for that thing yesterday. God, we love you because I know your gospel is true in my life. That's amazing. By the way, you should thank God every day if that's true. But I also know that I need your word. And I'll be honest, it's okay to pray. God, I read it and I don't understand it. David said that in Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes so that I can behold wondrous things out of your law. That's what David said. He was writing parts of scripture under the power of the Holy Spirit, but still he knew it was important to say that. There's going to be times when I don't understand this. I'm a little bit lost or confused. God, help me. I want to hear from you. I want to know more about you, and I want to be able to talk to you in a way that's more beneficial for me. And not doing this only when you feel like it's a hugely important detail. I know that no matter how tired or however I'm feeling, I still need to do that discipline. Otherwise, that question, which is so good, is going to become a reality. You're going to be relying on your own strength way more than you think. And you're going to realize it didn't take very long for me to be real distant from God. For me to not be in his word for weeks or months or maybe longer. For me to be in all kinds of sin, because we know that it's his word that keeps us away from sin. My life's not going the way I want. You know how often a young teen comes to me and says, Pastor Jay, my life's a mess. You know what my first question often is that I don't even need the answer to, but I'll say, how much time are you spending in the word? And the answer is always the same. Oh, none. None. How much time are you praying? I don't even need to ask. I already know that I'm not, you know? And so it's like, let's make that connection. When I'm distant from God, my life's in shambles. When I'm not doing this, I'm relying on me. It's going to go bad. God knows what we need. We need to hear from him and we need to talk to him in prayer. So make that a practice, even when you don't feel like it, even when you don't want to. There's a little bit of learning the discipline of doing it. Just starting it out. And then I think you'll find over time that it becomes a practice that you really like doing. But there's going to be those moments when it's hard. Great question. Great question. I think that one is really helpful. Did you guys want to add anything to that? Feeling good? Okay, we're out of time. High school's going to flood this place. Pastor Ryan, why don't you close in prayer and we'll dismiss for second hour.
Dear Lord, we come to you and just thank you for a time to think about some important questions. And Lord, we ask for these students that you would, if they don't know you, you would draw them to yourself, and that they would see the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, and that there's nothing better in this world than to know Christ and to become more and more like him. I just pray that they would understand that, and that you would draw them close to yourself and encourage those who do know you to press on and to keep knowing Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.